start a new discussion pertaining to the Malacha of Hotzah. Hotzah is a two-pronged discussion that we need to have, because we have to discuss the Malacha itself, and then, in order to really understand the Malacha, we need to talk about the definition of different Rishuyos and Shabbos. Okay? The Malacha of Hotzah is defined as follows. Okay, there are two ways to violate Hotzah. Well, kind of three ways. Hotzah. One is carrying an item from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabin, or from a Rishus HaRabin to a Rishus HaYochid. Okay, from a private to a public domain, or vice versa. And the other is called Ma'avir Dalit Amos Birshus HaRabim, transferring, carrying an item for Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. Those are the two ways to violate, or three ways to violate, this Malacha of Hotzah. Just on a, Just on a Machshavti level for a moment, it's unique. This malacha is unique in the sense that it is the only malacha that does not physically alter the object upon which you perform the malacha. Right? All the other malachas take something in the natural world and they change it in some manner. The only difference is hotzah. The only exception is hotzah. Hotzah, you take an object and you simply move it from one place to another. You haven't changed it in any significant way. So in that sense, it is unique. And in fact, there were Mefarshim who referred to Hotzah as a Malacha Gerua. Malacha Gerua, a low-level Malacha, for this reason. So what's the Pshat? How do we understand this? So one possible understanding is as follows. Listen to this. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky writes, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
Clearly it's not so low level because we refrain from doing mitzvahs.
Yeah, no, clearly it does have the status of a malach on Shabbos, yechayv skila if you do it 100%. No, it is serious. It is very serious. Yeah, what are the ramifications of it being a malach gerua? Not so many ramifications.
Maybe,
but
you have to choose one of two things to do. You choose
okay.
This one rather than any of the other 38.
Maybe, I don't know. All right. It still has all the level of severity of and the other 39 malachas. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky suggests in his Perush on Chumash the following. He says that the Gemara has a drasha about this malacha from a pasuk that's in the context of binyan of the. In the context of the Mishkan itself, so he says as follows: when once we have the Mishkan, so we understand that there's such a thing as Kedushas HaMakom. Once we have Kedushas HaMakom, it turns out that changing an item's location is a significant change. Okay, space actually does matter.
This is the Malach of transferring.
Transferring, space does matter. Okay, of course it is unique. Also to mention that this concept of Kedushas HaMakom, of course, and Shabbos go very much together, because Shabbos is Kedushas HaZman. As we've discussed, the Mishnah Berurah quotes that Shabbos, basically in the realm of time, is comparable to Beis HaMikdash in the realm of space. Kedushas HaMakom, Kedushas HaZman. In any event, so maybe that's the Pshat with Hotzah, that changing location really can be a significant act. Rav Hirsch has all different mahalach. He has all different malach where he says the other malachos are in reference to the human attempt to control nature, whereas Hotzah relates to the interplay between people, between individuals and society. Okay, but be that as it may, that's the malach of Hotzah. Carrying from Rishus HaYachid to Rishus HaRabim, or vice versa, or carrying four amos within the Rishus HaRabim. In order to understand this better, we need to first, we need to first define some terms. We said Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, and we haven't even mentioned the term Karmelis. What are these things? How do we define these areas? And then we'll have to discuss what exactly are all the dinim pertaining to these areas. Eruv, how does that work exactly? So let's open up the Shulchan Aruch here. Chelek Dalid, very beginning. Chelek Dalet. Shin Mem Hei. Shin Mem Hei.
Hey.
Very good. Very good. Okay, I'm glad you found it. Evan, read for us Shemem Hey.
Alf?
Yeah.
Abra Rashuyos, Shabbat, Rashida Yachir, Rashida Rabin, Carmelite.
Skip the parentheses for now. Kom Ptur. So there are four Rishuyos and Shabbos. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim, Carmelis, and Makom Pitur. Really, 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 Midaraisa is only three. Rishus HaRabim, a Rishus HaYachid, and then everything else, a Carmelis is a Makom Pitur. A Makom Pitur is basically a home free area, a safety zone. The Malacha is transferring from a Rishus HaYachid to Rabim, a Rabim to Yachid. But if you go from a Rishus HaYachid to a Makom Pitur / Carmelis, or a Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelis, or a Carmelis to one of those Rishuyos, you're fine. That's totally mutter. Midaraisa. Midarabanan, the Chachamim understood that the dinim of the Mechitzos, what's considered Rishus HaYachid, what's considered Rishus HaYachid, these are not easy, not complicated, they're rather complicated. Not everyone's going to understand. It's very easy to forget yourself and to go a little further than you're supposed to. So they established, they were gozer, that a Carmelis is aser midrabanan to transfer from a Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis or vice versa, or a Rishus HaRabim to a Carmelis or vice versa. And they drastically reduced the category of Makom Pitur. Okay, Minatorah, anything that's not a Rishus HaYachid or a Rishus HaRabim is a Makom Pitur. Midrabanan, there's a very specific definition of what's considered Makom Pitur. Very, very, very reduced definition of Makom Pitur. Okay? We're going to jump in. I hope that as we go on, it'll become a little bit more clear. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. Si'if Beis, Mr. Chesna.
Is here Rishus HaYachid, Makom HaMukaf Mechitzot Gevurot, Asur Tzvachim, Yesh Bar Arba Tzvachim, Al Arba Tzvachim, Or Yoter.
Okay, Rishus HaYachid, definition. It is a place that is at least 4x4 tefachim in area, and it is surrounded by mechitzos that are at least 10 tefachim tall.
Is it Rishus HaYachid?
Rishus HaYachid. Okay, surrounded by mechitzos at least 10 tefachim tall, and the area of the Rishus is at least 4x4 tefachim. Tefachim, not amos. 4x4 tefachim.
It's tiny.
It's not very big. Doesn't have to be very big. Okay.
Mechitzos are 10 tefachim?
10 tefachim. Mechitzos are 10 tefachim. Okay. Continue on.
Echein charitz amok asar v'rachav arba al arba. Echein tel gavara asar v'rachav arba al arba.
Okay, we can get fairly creative with what counts as a mechitza. So therefore, if you have a pit which is more than 10 tefachim deep and is at least 4x4 tefachim, so in that pit it's a Rishus HaYachid because the sides of the pit count as mechitzos. Or if you have a hill which is 4x4 tefachim on top, and we'll have to discuss this, but it's at least 10 tefachim high, so the sides of the hill can count as a mechitza. And then even the count as a mechitza, not just if you're on the bottom surrounded by hills like that, but if you're on top of the hill, we view the mechitza as continuing up into the air. Okay, that's what we call. Anybody know? We use some of these terms by Sukkah also.
A mavoi.
No. Good asik.
Good asik.
Good asik means you good asik mechitza. The mechitza just continues going up, so that would count as a mechitza. But in any event, as you can see, these halachas are fairly complicated. What counts as a mechitza and what not?
So
Okay, but that's a definition of a Rishus HaYachid. Clearly, any house is going to be Rishus HaYachid. It's surrounded by, you have mechitzos in your house. Right? If you have a yard that's fenced in, so that'll presumably be a Rishus HaYachid.
Can you say that even if it's not fenced in, if you have a sidewalk in front of your house?
If you have
a sidewalk in front of your house, doesn't that count, even if it's not fenced in, can't you say that that's the border?
You have to have mechitzos.
Technically,
there's no mechitzos. It's not a Rishus HaYachid.
Technically, if you have a little boxed in area, even if it's smaller than, like, let's say it's even smaller than Porch Fucking, let's say it's like just a little area like this wide, but giant walls. Technically, you could say that the rest of the world is boxed in, and that's the outside.
We don't know. Yeah. Okay, that would totally reduce it. No, we don't.
Technicality.
We don't say that. We don't say that. I think it's hard to argue that this little boxed-in area is a mechitza that goes around the rest of the world. I don't think
it's famous. It's a famous riddle between saying like a mathematician, an engineer, and like.
Okay, we view it the way that normal people view things. The way that normal people view things, okay? It doesn't go around the rest of the world.
It doesn't go around.
Okay, it has to be around. Surrounded by.
You can't have, what are you, surround the world?
Yeah, mechitzos nikaros. And echanami, it's not shy to make the entire world into a Rishus HaYachid. It's not so shy.
What if it goes around half?
No.
Yeah, great wall, like a great wall of the world.
Okay.
Separate the north from the south.
Okay. Very good. Just to show you how far we take this. Look at Sivov. Avi Rosenberg. I should say Avram Pinchas.
Afilu pi kigon teva u migdal o kaves an kaveres. Imesh bo le rabe arba al arba vugavo asara ave rishus hayachid.
Okay, a kli can be a rishus hayachid as well. You can have a garbage can. If it's 4x4 tefachim and the sides of it go up 10 tefachim high, then inside the garbage can is a Rishus HaYachid. If you have a mailbox and the mailbox is 4x4 tefachim and 10 tefachim high, then inside or on top of the mailbox is a Rishus HaYachid. You can have all kinds of interesting Rishus HaYachid. Okay? Everything okay? Yeah, put it away. You have the Mishnah Berurah open? Oh. Okay, so this is the definition of Rishus HaYachid. Let's define Rishus HaRabim. Avraham Doiv. We're in Siv Zayin now. Get to Siv Zayin. Oh, yeah, Avraham Doiv. Shin Mem Hei Siv Zayin.
No. Is there Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaShvachim? Arachivim. Tesayin Ama. Eina Mekarim Eilan.
Okay, now let's define a Rishus HaRabim. A Rishus HaRabim is a place. Rechovos Ushvakim. He says streets or marketplaces. Why does he have to specify streets or marketplaces? Because it has to be a place. The most basic definition of Rishus HaRabim is that it's a place which is given over for the use of the rabbin. Okay? That's the most basic thing. It's not someone's private property that you're not allowed onto. It's a place that's given over to the rabbin.
So a road or a park.
A road or a marketplace which is 16 amos wide, which are not covered and are not surrounded by walls. Continue on.
Marketplaces, because all of our markets are owned by a private person, and they rent out space to other people.
Okay, good.
So is that a rishus?
Okay, chol yod not. We'll see. The fact that it's owned does not necessarily mean that it's not a rishus haram. We'll discuss. Yeah, continue on. Ulos belaylo. Okay, it has to be, even if it has a wall, it could still be Rishus HaRabim, which is, if it's Mifulash Mishar Lishar, that the Rishus HaRabim goes straight from one side of the city straight across all the way to the other side of the city. All right. Continue on. Oh, now here is a controversial one. Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh Omrim, that if it doesn't have 600,000 people there every day, then it's not a Rishus HaRabim. So this is a very, very significant Tanai. Okay, because if you include... Okay, yeah, let's just clarify one thing. 600,000, one second. Let's just clarify one thing. We'll have to discuss how an Eruv works. Okay, we're not ready to talk about that yet. But suffice it to say that the way that we make Erevin, it does not really work if we're dealing with a real Rishus HaRabim. Okay, and the Erevin that we use only works for a Carmelis. Most of the streets that we have in the places, that towns that we live, are not really Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. They don't meet all these qualifications, all these criteria. Okay? However, what about... Now, but there are some which do. There are streets which do, especially in bigger cities. So, one second. So, if you go ahead and include this condition that Rishus HaRabim Daraisa is only if you have 600,000 people there, then that drastically cuts down even further on what will be considered a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. If you assume that there don't need to be 600,000 people there, so then... A lot of, you know, it's very shy if that you could have a big street, a big road, a highway that will oftentimes very much be considered to be a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa.
Just the possibility that 600,000 people
could. I don't think it means the possibility. The way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch here and the way the Rishonim meant it was that it has to be there's actually 600,000. Why? Because that was dome to what we had in the Midbar. 600,000 people.
In one spot or?
So, okay, so that's the question, right?
People.
So that's the question. What exactly does it mean, bedavka, in one particular place, on this particular spot, in the whole neighborhood? What exactly does it mean? But suffice it to say that only very extremely, extremely major highways, only in major metropolises, get up to 600,000 people.
Is that even per day or per...
Every, that's what it said, every day.
Every day.
Chol Yom.
Including Shabbos?
Chol Yom. It means in general. Okay. Now, the Minog HaOlam in Europe, was to rely on this Kula. And that's how they were able to make Erevin in various places... In the big cities, in Warsaw and in Paris and wherever they lived, that's how they made the Erevin. Okay, there are some poskim who. Okay, so this is one discussion. Bismana said, do we accept this kula or not? That was part of this whole big eruption about making an Erevin in Brooklyn. Bismano. Okay.
They didn't do the right thing.
What's that?
I said maybe just okay. They didn't do the right thing.
Well, you can't make an Erevin.
I don't think we can. We're allowed to. Read.
I said maybe.
Yeah.
You can't make an Erev if there's not 600,000.
If there are 600,000 people, you can't make an Erev. If there are 600,000,
you can't make an Erev.
Again, if there is a Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, you can't make an Erev of the type that we make, and then just carry there. So the question is: is it a Rishus HaRabim only a place that has 600,000 people there every day? In which case, vast majority of our roads in our cities are not Rishus HaRabim Daraisa. Or no, as long as it meets the other criteria, 16 amos wide, it's a place for the Rabbim to deal with, it goes straight, across from across the city, so then it will be Rishus HaRabim. Even so, most streets in residential neighborhoods are not Rishus HaRabim Daraisa, even so. But it will cut down on the possibility of making, or there's what you can encompass in an Eruv in a lot of major cities, okay, big cities, yes.
I just forgot my question.
Well then, when you remember it, let us know. Yeah.
So if you have an Eruv, so it's 600,000 people pass within the whole Eruv every day? Like,
No. we're talking about what makes a particular street, let's say, a Rishus HaRabim.
Right.
So if that street is a Rishus HaRabim, you can't include that in the Eruv. Okay? The Eruv has to be without that street.
I'm saying, what if you have like a whole like city?
Yeah.
Among all the streets, there's 600,000 people.
Okay, so again, it's a question of where exactly it means the 600,000. No, it doesn't mean in the entire an entire city, but you know, there's no one area within the city where there's 600. Doesn't mean
one, like,
one area, whether it's that street or at least in the surrounding area around that street. Yeah.
Okay. I think I read somewhere that Rav Moshe Feinstein said it was not 600,000 but 3 million, because 600,000 included men between 20 and 60. So that number, the total number.
Okay, of I'm not familiar with that kula. Taking that kula even further to assume that it's not 600,000 but 3 million. Okay, I'm not familiar with such a
number. In the wilderness was 3 million.
I understand that, but I'm not aware.
Johnny, the look he's giving you right now.
3 million.
Very good. Very good. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, in fact, the Mishnah Berurah says explicitly not like that.
3 million.
Okay, look in the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Gimel. Look in the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Gimel. He raises this point. Sevir Lahu, they hold, this opinion holds, the Gam Lazeb, the Inon, Dumio, the Digle Midbar Shayashishim Ribo. The Afsha Hayasham Od Erev Rav, the Noshim, the Taf. But I, there are more than 600,000. There were the Erev Rav, plus the women, plus all the kids, much more than 600,000. Lo chashvina nala mashanimsa bakosim beferish. We only could take into consideration the number that's written explicitly in the Chumash. Okay? So then he says, le'inin halacha, midasa mechavir dechosav deazo, rak b'shem yeshom, remashav del halacha, lo siril ekein, mikom mokom ein bonu koach, limchos biyadasom chum al deazo, etc. So, he writes here, from the fact that Mechaber writes this, says, Yeshomrim, it implies that he doesn't hold like this kula of 600,000. However, we don't have the ability to protest those who rely on it, because this is not a unique opinion of a Das Yachid. Okay, there were a number of Rishonim that held this way, and a Baal Nefesh should be Machmer. As we go through Hilchos Halachos here, okay, we'll hopefully talk a little bit about Erevin. So sometimes you go around the world and hear, oh, I'm Machmer on this, I don't hold by the Erevin, this is a... What does that mean? Why would you yes? Why would you not? Okay, this is one of those issues where there's a dispute. There are cities that rely on this kula of 600,000. There are Avon that rely on it, and there are people who say, I don't want to rely on it. Okay, the Mishnah Berurah was not thrilled about it, but he says you can't protest if there are places which do rely on it. Let's look, though, and here's a very important Mishnah Berurah, Sifkot Yud Zayin. Yud Zayin. Jonathan, read for us Mishnah Berurah Yud Zayin.
I'm not sure what that is. Oh, it's on the next page.
Okay.
Mikre.
Jonathan, we'll come back to you.
Mikre, yeah. Carmel.
That you're in the wrong place.
I'm in the wrong place. Wow, I am in the wrong place.
Okay.
If that's the Yesh Omer, what is the mainstream opinion versus Rabin?
The other conditions. It has to be 16 amos wide and go across the city. But there's no quantitative opinion of how many people. Okay.
I am lost.
Okay.
What was the draw team?
Rechovos Udrachim. Okay. Alright, David, read for us the Mishnah Berurah. Yitzayin.
Rechovos Udrachim shall bring me ear to ear, having done king of Shizrabim, Mishun Ishchiche Bam
Rabbi. Oh boy! Whew! Did you catch that? The Mishnah Berurah here writes that intercity roadways are considered to be automatically Rishus HaRabim. Even if they don't have 600,000 people.
Yeah, that's why you don't have it span over the highway.
Oh, boy. So this is a significant...
Are you going under the highway?
Very close.
Okay. Okay. So this is a pretty significant ha'ara. This is a pretty significant point here that the Mishnah Berurah writes, that if it's intercity highway, then it's automatically Rishus HaRabim. So then, when people build Erevs, as you're already getting a sense, building an Erev requires expertise. Okay, this is not for the beginner. So, building an Erev for a city, you're going to have to take into consideration what about the intercity highways, and your Erev will have to not include that.
Intercity highway is automatic problem.
That's what the Mishnah Berurah writes. Automatic Rishus HaRabim.
What's considered a city? Is there a definition? Or, I'm saying suburbs, villages?
No, there is a definition.
Okay.
Towns.
Yeah, okay, no, it doesn't have to be, well, you know, whatever people nowadays define as, you know, from place to place.
Yeah,
I would say as follows, though. In other words, you have some roads that go from one city to another, but one town to another, but there's no separation between the towns. It just happens to be that one municipality ends here and the next one starts. But then you can't tell, it's continuous, continuous.
It's just like Amish
street. Yeah, continuously inhabited. You know, one guy's backyard, it happens to be the border.
Right.
He's in two cities. two townships. So then that's not called from city to city. Intercity means it's going from one place of habitation.
So in Teaneck, Fairlawn, and Englewood, can I make a giant Eruv?
Okay, I don't know exactly how the Eruv, what the Eruv encompasses. You probably can go online and find out.
Teaneck, I'm pretty sure there's one in each city.
Or two
cities. My dad used to do the Englewood Eruv.
What does that mean he used to do?
He used to check it every Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Cool.
That was his job when he was
a
teenager.
He brought it down?
Yeah, so kosher it is.
He brought his chicken to
it. Okay.
I fixed it like
every week. Oh, very good.
So, all right, you have a house lying on the border between Montague and Capulet.
Rabbi Zai. We got to keep things. We need to keep it a little more under control. It'll be very interesting. So Avi can share with us some of his war stories from fixing the Eruv. And as we go along, you make your horrors about things you've seen.
How much they pay you?
Okay. He paid them. This was okay. Very good. Alrighty. Let us continue on. Okay, we move on to Sif Yud Dalet. We're now moving on to see if Yud Dalet. Follow along. Listen, read for us Yud Dalet. It's Tivanit. You can skip the parentheses for now. Okay, anyway, to make a long story short, basically, anything which is not a Rishus HaYachid or a Rishus HaRabim or a Makom Ptur, which we'll see in a minute, is a Karmelis. Okay? Outdoor areas which are not a Rishus HaRabim, they're not a place where everyone walks or everyone travels, which are 16 amas wide and go across the city. These are all Karmelis. Most of the streets in our neighborhoods, our residential neighborhoods, are considered to be a Karmelis.
There's a beach
one. The beach, what's that? Yeah. He gives example of it, yeah? He gives example. Beach is considered...
Most.
I can't have everyone yelling out. If you have something to say, you're going to need to raise your hand. Yes.
What's the definition of
okay, Karmelis is essentially a negative definition. You know what? Let's go to Makom Ptur, and then anything which is not any of the other three is a Karmelis. But suffice it to say, most outdoor areas are going to be a Karmelis, unless it's a Rishus HaRabim. A real Rishus HaRabim. If it's not surrounded by mechitzas, it's going to be a Karmelis. Okay, mechitzas, as you know, given the wider definition of mechitzas, what counts as mechitzas? Let's get to Makom Ptur. Makom Ptur we find in Seif Yud Tes at the end of this Siman Shin Mem Hei. Okay, Seif Yud Tes. Josh.
Makom Ptur hu makom shein bo dahar al dahar begibon shoshan. Lamala Adler Rahia O Harit Shame Odal Dal, the Moku term Shosha, Hen and Hito, Agbo, Gimel, Lamala, Vain, Benehem Dal Dal. Jose Dakabo, and Rishis Ravim, about the Cardinal is Amarin.
Okay, so he says as follows: a Makom Ptur is a place which is less than 4x4 Tefachim. And it is either elevated or has mechitzas that are at least 3 tefachim high. Okay, this is the definition of a makom ptur. Elevated or has mechitzas that are at least 3 tefachim high and it's less than 4x4. So for example, a parking meter will have the status of a makom ptur. A parking meter will have the status of a makom ptur. If you're outside, there's no Eruv, and you're carrying something, and you put it down on the Makom Ptur, on the top of a parking meter, you have not committed a malacha at all.
Are we at 3 to 10 tefachim?
No.
Or less than 3?
More than 3 tefachim.
Also,
even if it's more than 10 tefachim, it's a Makom Ptur.
Also, city-owned, like...
Benches.
Not, well, yeah, but also, like, you know, you'll see those...
little square fences where you have like a city generator or something. There are like plumbing pipes or something like that.
Okay, depending on the dimensions. Okay, so as you can see, Makom Ptur is a fairly limited category. Most areas that are not surrounded by real mechitzos, or whatever, real halacha mechitzos, are going to be a karmelis. So what's the din of a... You need to raise your hand. What's the din of a karmelis, did we say? So carrying from a karmelis to a Rishus HaYachid, or a Rishus HaRavim, or carrying within a karmelis, is Aser Midirabonon.
So Pater.
Okay. So you're Sidirabonon. Your Pater, there's no Chiv Skila, no Chiv Kares, no Korban Chatos if you did Bishogig, but it is an Sidirabonon. Okay? So far, so good?
Yep.
Yo? Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Now, there are some additional Gezeira Derabonans that we need to talk about. Okay, in addition to the Gezeira Derabonan that you're not allowed to carry from a Rishus HaYochid to a Karmelis, or a Karmelis to Rishus HaYochid, the Chachamar also goes there that you cannot carry from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid owned by somebody else.
The duplex.
Okay, so to carry from your backyard, which is surrounded by a fence, to somebody else's backyard, to the next door neighbor's backyard, which is surrounded by a fence, that will be a Issa Derabanan. Oh, 1 second. Even to carry in a jointly owned Rishus HaYochid between different households, that's also Issa Derabanan. So in order to... Now, the Rabbanan made this Gezeira because they were concerned with people getting confused between carrying to a, you know, jointly owned Rishus HaYochid and carrying to a Rishus HaRabim. Examples of a jointly owned Rishus HaYochid. Okay? Inside, and you might be surprised, inside a apartment building. So in your apartment, that's your Rishus HaYochid. In the hallways, in the stairwells, it's a Rishus HaYochid, but it's joint for all the apartments in the building. That you cannot carry there. Midirabonan. You cannot carry from your apartment to the hallway. Now that would be an example. In the olden days, and you still have places like this, all the houses opened up into a chatzer, right? Into a courtyard. And then the courtyard opened up into a mavui. And the mavui opened up into a Rishus HaRabim. There were a few courtyards that went into a mavui and moved into a Rishus HaRabim. So for each person, for the chatzar was surrounded by a wall. It met the specifications of Rishus HaYochid. It's more than 4x4 tefachim. It was surrounded by mechitza, a wall of 10 tefachim high. But it was jointly accessed and owned by, and everyone had equal rights to it from all the houses in the chatzar. So midrabanan, you cannot carry from your house into the chatzar, from the chatzar to the house, or within the chatzar. Unless you would do the following. This is what the Chacham instituted, that all the joint members of the Rishus HaYochid can come together and Ki'ilu establish one joint residence. And that is what's through an Eruv Chatzeiros. Okay, Eruv Chatzeiros. So La'alacha, when we talk about an Eruv in our communities, we're really talking about two things. What we call Eruv is not really the Eruv. Okay? What we call Eruv is the stuff they make, you know, the string they put up around the town or whatever. That's not really native. That's what we call mechitzos. Okay, that's halachically, we have to discuss this, it's halachically considered to be mechitzos around the town. Once you have mechitzos around the town, what have we done? We've turned the entire area from a karmelis into a rishus hayachid. Because now it is surrounded by mechitzos. Now that you have one rishus hayachid, but what about the fact that there's so many different households? Each household has access and rights to the streets and to the sidewalks and all the common areas. So then we have to do an Eruv Chatzeros. An Eruv Chatzeros means as follows. That everyone chips in food. At least as a grogris of food, and they put it in one place. And by doing so, we establish Kilu, it's a joint residency over there. Ah, you've never seen anyone come knocking on your door asking you to chip in for food. So the answer is as follows. We have a concept called Zachin Le'adam Shalom Bifanov. What does this mean? Zachin Le'adam Shalom Bifanov? We've already discussed it. Some other context, once upon a time?
No, he did it for Kinyanim.
For Kinyanim and Morning Shir, okay.
For something, you can acquire something for someone that would for sure want to acquire the thing.
I can be Mizakis. I can acquire something for somebody if it's a schus for him, if it's good for him. So if I want to say, here, oh, I found this.
You do it for Erev Tavshil and you see the little paragraph.
Okay. I found this mark on the floor. I know that my buddy Gabi loves markers. So if I pick it up with intention, that should be kash, koned on behalf of Gabi. Now it's yours. Halachically yours. Zach Lander Shlomofanov. Or if I go ahead and say, this is my mark, I'm giving it to you. You take it on behalf of Gabi. So now it belongs to Gabi. So what we do is, this is the process that they'll take matzahs, because matzahs last for a long time. And one person will take the matzahs and give it to the, you know, the rabbi arranges this, give it to another, it's his matzahs, he gives it to another, and the other guy is koned on behalf of all the residents of the entire area.
You can also use it for Tchum Shabbos, that you can move your...
Okay, once we're not Tchum, we're talking about Tchum Shabbos right now.
Do they ever eat the matzahs?
One second. We're going to discuss all the details, okay? But this is the basic process. So they're mizake, the matzahs, to everybody. Everybody has a chelik in these matzahs.
If I want to.
The matzahs hang out in the shul, and that's the Erev Chatzeiros, if we're surrounded by acceptable mechitzos. And you have the Erev Chatzeiros, so then we can all carry outside.
If I want out, can I take a piece of the matzah and just be out?
So if you want, so the problem is this whole thing, if one person is out, the whole thing doesn't work. You can ruin it for everyone.
You can ruin it for everyone.
Even if you don't take a piece, if you're not interested, if you don't want to be part of it.
It's obviously some Jew.
You don't agree?
Town is like, I don't like Judaism, but I'm a Jew still.
All right, we'll have to talk about that. It's not Pasha. It's not Pasha.
I have a question. Yeah. You said, if there's no fence between the two backyards, can you walk in to another?
No, once it's somebody else's property, if there's no Eruv Chatzeros, then it's a problem. In theory, let's say we live in a place where there's no Eruv. But my backyard and your backyard are fenced in, and it's just the two of us. One second, they're saying, I gotta be a fence around, otherwise it's not Rosh Hashanah Yochid at all. Okay, it's fenced in, but between us there's no fence. Or there is a fence, doesn't really matter. You and I can make our own Eruv Chatzeros. Okay, and then we can carry from one to the other. Okay, this is some basics. On the Malacha Votzah and the definition of the different Rishuyos. And this we continue with Bezras Hashem tomorrow. Have a great rest of the day.